Morning. Beautiful day. In fact, it was a lovely autumn day, much like this day, in Columbus, Ohio. The Metropolitan Armored Truck was tooling along Interstate 71. It was busy with traffic. And unknown to the driver and to the guard that was beside the driver, the rear door swung open to this armored car. And money began to start pouring out of the back. Bags fell out. Bills were flying in the air. Bills of all denominations, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it poured out for more than a mile before, in the rearview mirror, the driver discovered that something was littering the road, and they stopped. But as the armored car eventually drove out of sight, it was estimated that over 200 cars converged on that scene. And people began scooping up this money, much like you would scoop up snow to make a snowman. More than $1 million was lost out of the back of that truck. Melvin Reiser was an Ohio telephone technician, and he scooped up a bag that contained $57,000 in small bills. And he gave it back. They gave him a citation, and they gave him a 10% reward of the amount that he returned. A man named Larry Brumagen was a high school social studies teacher, and he said at the school in the teacher's lounge, a debate broke out whether or not they would have taken the money and what they would have done with it. In fact, it got so prominent that it was on the local radio station, WXGT, and they asked callers to call in and say whether or not they would have taken the money. And they discovered 61% of the people that called in said, sure, they'd take the money. A competing station, they had a similar survey. 90% of the people called in and said, sure, they would have kept the money. So the question comes, what about you? What would you do? I mean, who would know the difference? Wasn't your fault that the money came out of the back of the truck? No one was hurt. Who would know? What was the right thing to do? Wouldn't a fresh breeze of integrity make a difference? I say the world has a shortage, definitely, of integrity. I mean, we're coming out of a pandemic, but in reality, we are still in very much of an epidemic of lack of integrity. I mean, you could pick up the newspaper, you could turn on the television, you can hear about the business executives everywhere who are skimming the funds off the top of the company. Sometimes they're Ponzi schemes to support some kind of extravagant or immoral lifestyle. Even sometimes you read about church leaders stealing. You may not remember it. It was sometime in the past, but there was a famous Dallas TV evangelist who was going through a very heated divorce, and his wife, the so-called co-pastor of the church, deeded the whole church away to somebody else, and then turned on her husband and said, oh, he'd been skimming money, funds out of the church for many a year. On and on it goes. Business, religious leaders, athletes that shave points or throw the game, fights that are rigged, spouses that are cheating on one another in illicit affairs, students that are cheating on tests, employees that are cheating their employers, and employers that are cheating their employees. And don't get me started about politicians from whom we've got to choose our leader. Never have figured out they go in poor and come out multimillionaires, because I know the salary they get paid according to law. Our whole world could use a fresh breeze of integrity. If you have your Bibles, we're going to skim through a number of verses very quickly. See what the Bible says. If you turn over to the book of Leviticus in chapter 19, verse 36, it says, you shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephod and an honest hand. And in Proverbs 12:17, it says, he who speaks with truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And a few pages over in Proverbs 16:13, it says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. A little further in Proverbs 24, verse 26, it says, he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Turn over to the New Testament, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, it reads, again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Go over to the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. In 2 Corinthians 8:21, it says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And finally, in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Put all those verses and many more that we could read together. And what does this book say? It says simply, deal honestly with your fellow man. It says, tell the truth. It says, keep your promises. It says, mean what you say. Say what you mean. People in the world will be impressed with your honesty, impressed with your uprightness. If you do these, then you're truly a man or a woman of integrity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world could have a fresh breeze of integrity? What are some of the marks of those that show integrity in their life and their character? First, a person of integrity doesn't blame other people for their shortcomings. He doesn't have something happen and says, oh, look, someone made me do it. Remember this guy? He lost his job, he wrecked his car, but he took his troubles like a man and blamed them all on his wife. The person of integrity accepts responsibility for his own decisions, his own actions, and he doesn't blame others for his shortcomings. But secondly, a person of integrity holds to his convictions under all circumstances. He doesn't consider what other people are going to think or what reward he might get or what punishment it could bring if he does one thing or another. Someone said everyone has three faces. The one he shows, the one he thinks he shows, and the one he really has. Man one day asked a woman if she would go to bed with him for $1,000. She thought about it. She said, yes, I'll go to bed with you for sex for $1,000. He said, how about for $1? And she said, well, what kind of woman do you think I am? He says, I've already established what kind of woman you are. We're just haggling over the price. Joyce Heffler was raised in Indian Cherokee territory in Oklahoma, became the author of many very inspirational books, and actually had a syndicated column that appeared called Think on These Things. Listen to what she said. Don't worry about who people think you are. Consider who you think you are. Be someone you can depend on. Be steadfast in good times and bad. Tell fear to get lost and resist doubt with all your heart. Laugh at yourself. Humor is a saving grace, but laughing at other people makes us fools instead of friends. Watch out for self-criticism. It is so easy to fall into the habit of seeing ourselves doing nothing right. Don't respond to critics' words. If a lesson exists, learn it. But give yourself credit for knowing something. Fight the urge to fight. Don't argue with stupidity. It only makes us stupid. When you need a friend, be one to yourself and someone else. Like attracts like. Nothing counts for nothing. Invest in beauty, that of the spirit that comes in love. It's yours for the taking. I like a poem that a man named Dill Winbrow wrote. The Man in the Glass. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the whole world makes you king for a day, just go to a mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people may think you a straight-shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy. But the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please. Never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear up to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of life and get pats on your back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. You see, a man or a woman of integrity holds to their convictions under all circumstances. Thirdly, consider that a person of integrity values honor above cost. Arthur Gordon, he was author of a book entitled A Touch of Wonder, tells of a famous surgeon who was one day working with a very new nurse, and she was worried about being adequate for the job, because he was a well-known and very respected doctor. So as the operation came to a close, he hollered out, "I'm ready to close. Did we get all 12 sponges out of the patient?" And the nurse was very nervous. She said, "I only counted 11. There were 12. I'm going to go ahead and close," the doctor said. Well, the nurse felt panicked because she knew he had performed the surgery hundreds of times before and that he knew what he was doing. But she stuck to her guns and she said, "I only counted 11. The doctor insisted, "I counted 12. And you're new at this. We're closing." And the nurse blurted out, "But I only counted 11. You're not closing till I see all 12. The doctor looked at her. Looked down at his foot. He moved his foot a little bit, and under it was that 12th sponge. And he winked and he said, "You'll do." That's integrity. A person who values what's right and what's honorable, even if it could have cost. Fourth mark of integrity, a person of integrity values right above reward. James Garfield, you and I probably don't know a whole lot about him. If you think back, though, in history, he was the 20th president of the United States. He was assassinated in 1881. Well, what's lesser known about President Garfield was that he was an elder in the Church of Christ. He was a Sunday school teacher. He occasionally even preached, led some sermons at some revivals, baptized shortly after his 18th birthday. Well, during his presidency, there was a crisis that arose, and an emergency cabinet meeting was called for the following Sunday morning. The president respectfully declined to attend the cabinet meeting, saying that he had a previous appointment that took precedent over this one. Well, the crisis, whatever it was, it passed. The nation survived, obviously. But later, President Garfield was asked the question, what kind of appointment was more important than the cabinet meeting? This is what he said. That appointment, sir, was with my Lord. I have faithfully attended worship every Sunday, and I intend to do so the rest of my life. My friends, that's integrity. When we think about our own lives, we're so quick to miss being in the Lord's house, to miss being at the Lord's table, for all kinds of reasons. Maybe some special shows on TV. Maybe we want to drop a fishing line there at the lake. Maybe we just want to take a nap. We all remember from our history books Henry Clay, a 19th century, very powerful orator. He was a statesman, seemed almost certain to become president of the United States, but he took a very unpopular side of a very hot political question, and a friend and advisor said, Henry, if you continue to hold that stand, you'll never be president of the United States. Henry Clay stuck to his convictions. And his friend was right. He never became president of the United States. But his life was exemplary in terms of his integrity. And if you go to where he is buried, on his tombstone is written these words, I'd rather be right than president. That's a fresh breeze of integrity in the world of politics in which we live today. A person of integrity values right above reward. And consider that a person of integrity values what's best in his fellow man over himself. That's really the definition of love. Love isn't that feeling you feel when you feel you've got a feeling that you've never felt before. Love seeks out the best for the object of that love. We all remember the story in Scripture of the mother of James and John. One day she came to Jesus and she wanted to guarantee that her sons would have some special place of prominence in his kingdom when it was established. I think she's thinking of an earthly kingdom, as most people were. But Jesus responded with a very special lesson on humility and not trying to claw your way to the top or call the shots or win through some kind of intimidation. He said, if you want to be great, you've got to serve other people. You might go over with me to Matthew chapter 20, a couple of verses beginning in verse 27. He said, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's integrity. A person of integrity acts in the best interest of his fellow man. And finally, a person of integrity seeks the will of God in all things. We all know the account of Gethsemane and Jesus there at the end of his life before he goes to the cross. And there he is, knowing what's going to happen at Calvary. Shortly, he's alone praying there in Gethsemane. We can only imagine what that would be like to know and to carry the burden of being the Savior of the world and to take our sins upon him. He would know because he had been there what kind of crucifixion death is all about. Maybe he didn't want to go through with it. Maybe he thought nobody would care. Maybe he thought it wouldn't make any difference in the lives of people. We don't know what he thought, but we do know this. Turn Turn with me over to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26, verse 39. In part it reads, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He knew what was right. It was right to do his Father's will. It was right to go to that cross and to die for those that he loved. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." You know, the disciples picked up on that concept. Jesus met Peter, you remember, when he was casting out his nets and fishing. And in Luke 5:4, he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for catch." And I love what Peter answered. It's found in the next verse, verse 5 of Luke 5. "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" I mean, I can just picture Peter looking at Jesus and says, "Look, we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. We know when they're biting. We know when they're not. Our nets are empty. There is no school of fish out there to catch. And we've been doing this all night long. And we're tired. But because you say so, we'll let down our nets again." Oh, you know what happened. They couldn't lift the nets out of them. There were so many fish in there. That submission to God because he is God. That's integrity on the part of Peter and those disciples. And they caught so many fish that it would break their net. Because God blesses those that are obedient. And he loves people of integrity. We can pass Peter and we can go on to Paul. You remember Paul, he believed Jesus was a fake. He was out persecuting Christians, beating down doors and hauling them out. He gained authority to go to Damascus because he was going to find a bunch more of them there. But on that road, he met up with Jesus. Convinced Jesus was really the Son of God. Over in Acts 9, verse 6, in part, it says, he said this, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That's interesting. That's no cop-out. That's no rationalization. That's no seeking to escape the facts or the circumstances at hand. Humbly, he said, "You are Lord. What do you want me to do?" What would happen if we all said that? What would happen if that fresh breeze of integrity blew across this world and all of us, not just here, but everywhere, would say, "Yes, you're Lord, what do you want me to do?" I think the first thing he'd say is, "I want you to believe in me and in my Father. I want you to obey my words. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to confess your faith. I want you to be obedient in the watery grave of baptism. And then I want you to arise and live as a person with integrity." This morning, come as we sing our song of invitation. Join Christ. Live as he would have you live.